seat and good morning. So I want to welcome people who have not been with us for the last 3 or 4 weeks. We have been doing a walk through the baptismal covenant and also looking at the 7 spiritual gifts. And I know everyone knows them by heart by now. Just as a reminder, wisdom and understanding, fortitude and the fear of the Lord, counsel and piety. And piety actually corresponds to blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And it's probably the most misunderstood of all of the Beatitudes. And piety, I think, in the modern age has sort of a negative connotation. Someone who's extremely pious often is a connotation of being sort of rigid. But in its original meaning, it is a very positive portrayal of a person who is very devout. And the meaning, the literal meaning of the word meek means a bit or a bridle, like would be put on someone's mouth. And in wartime, a horse that was very good in battle would be called a meek horse. In other words, because it was a horse that did not react under stress, it was able to be calm in the midst of turmoil. And that is the meaning of meekness. In other words, that it is a discipline to not be reactive. A discipline to love in the midst of hate. A discipline to control one's anger and rage. And to not harbor resentment. Many of you probably know that in 1958, Martin Luther King, when he was at a book signing for one of his new books, was stabbed by a woman. She was mentally ill. She thought he was a communist and went after him with a letter opener. And they said that if Martin Luther had reacted in anger towards this woman, he would have died because it cut so closely to his aorta that one movement from him would have sliced it in half. He was a man of true meekness. And here is what Martin Luther King wrote. He forgave the woman. He was concerned about her well-being. Here is a person who threatened his life physically. And in one of his writings, when he's speaking of the hatred in which they faced during the civil rights, he said, "We shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We shall meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we shall continue to love you. Throw us in jail, and we will still love you. Bomb our homes and threaten our children, and we will still love you. But be ye assured that we shall win freedom, but not only for ourselves. We shall so appeal to your heart and conscience that we shall win you in the process of our victory, and our victory will be a double victory. And so where does someone like that develop meekness in the face of hatred and violence? One of the things that we have to discover in ourselves is moral courage. And Rowan Williams calls moral courage, he defines it as this: it is the capacity to act from pressure from within rather than pressure from without. In other words, our desire is so strong, what we want in the sense is to love, is so strong that we will act from the pressure within, from inner motivation and will, and for the desire to love God and neighbor, rather than reacting to the pressure from without. That's what he defines as moral courage. And he said that the challenge is to discover what we really want. Because in order to develop the capacity for moral courage and meekness, we have to know what it is we really want. Do we really want, above all else, to manifest the Beatitudes in our lives in every situation? Do we really want to manifest being poor in spirit? That means that I rely completely on God. Do we really want to manifest the gift of knowledge, which we talked about a few sermons ago? And that is the ability to mourn, to see that we are not living the way we desire to live. And then do we really, really want to manifest meekness in our lives? We have to want it in order to have that kind of moral courage that can stand in love in the face of hatred. One bishop, I believe he's from Brazil, says there are two invincible forces in the 20th century. And he said that is the atom bomb and nonviolence. And we're witnessing that in Minnesota right now. A whole community coming together in nonviolence, resisting hatred, not fighting with swords and guns, fighting with video cameras, but not fighting to kill, but to be a witness in non-violent ways. standing up, taking courage, digging deep within themselves to find out what really matters in this moment the most. What do we truly desire? So we heard in the prophet Micah today, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God? We used to have it displayed outside on a big banner, but the storm took that away. So maybe it's time for us to internalize it, to wear it in our heart. But what is justice? What is justice? What is justice? Martin Luther King said justice is what love looks like in public. When we speak out in courage and in meekness for those who are oppressed. The prophet Micah was facing an almost identical situation in Israel that we are facing in America. And he was speaking out against injustice and the oppression of the poor, of people in government taking bribes, of people abducting people as they walk down the street or on their way to work. This is what Micah was crying out about. And he said, this is what God requires of you, is to do justice. The word in Hebrew means to restore. It means fairness, righteousness, right relationships, equity of resources. And that if it was inequitable, that would be restored. That was the understanding of justice in Micah. And so it invites us to find our moral courage, to manifest the Beatitudes, to allow them to spring up in their heart. And these, all of those spiritual gifts that I named correspond with the Beatitudes, each one. And with those, these are gifts that are given to us in our baptism that we are called to nurture and study and prayer and fellowship and in the sacraments. And they're there also to underline the four cardinal virtues of prudence and fortitude and justice and love. And also the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. It's really interesting that in our society, how the humanities have been waning over the last 20 or 30 years, because after all, they don't do anything to help us make money. And so they were considered no longer important, and look what happens to the character of ourselves. And all of a sudden, universities have a plethora of ethics programs springing up all over the country that we're learning they were important. It's just as important as business and finance, of how our character is formed. Plato considered justice to be the state of the soul in harmony. And Augustine said that justice is purely the love of God alone. And that justice is above, it is the top of the four cardinal virtues, because it's not just focused on self. In order to be just, one must be focused on the other. Not just what I want, but what my neighbor needs, what my community needs, what my nation needs. It's not about me. It's about what's good for the community. The well-being, the shalom, the well-being for the community. Micah also tells us that there is hope, but the hope does not stand alone. That hope cannot take root unless there is judgment. That hope comes out of judgment. And that's the part that we like to leave behind. Judgment means facing the truth, facing reality as it truly is, and making things right that are so wrong, that violate the human dignity of other persons. It's only then, when justice occurs, that hope flourishes. But without justice, hope cannot stand. Judgment and hope. Hope springs out of judgment. Judgment also has a negative connotation, but it really just means to face the truth. The real existential facts, not twisted and turned to our liking, but how things really are. Because when we are willing to face judgment, then we are open to receiving God's mercy and grace. But if we're not willing to receive the truth, then we shut ourselves off from mercy and grace. It's always there for us. Right now, I'm doing a confirmation class with the girls, Isabella and Daniela. And one of the things we're studying is the Ignatian form of prayer. And in the Ignatian form of prayer, it is a way of learning self-reflection on our actions and our inner attitudes. And so each evening, before they go to bed, they're together, and to put their hand on their heart so that they get connected with their heart, and to say, when was my heart open today? When did I experience joy and love in my day to day? And to name those things, and then to give thanks to God. And then afterwards to ask, where was my heart closed today? Where did I not experience love in myself? And to name those things, so that we can begin to help them discern what brings them joy and true fulfillment in their heart. Because what I've told them, what confirmation about is about really, is making your own choices. And we always have a choice. Always. We have a choice of how we respond or react. Sometimes things happen in us quicker than we would like. And that's when we have to ask for God's grace. But what it teaches us is to begin to discern, so that we know it from within, that it makes an internal impression on us, so that when we are in the face of hatred and anger, we can respond with love and meekness. It takes time. It's not something we memorize. That's how Sunday school was taught to me. You memorized all these verses and, you know, but I mean, that's okay, but it's not going to cut it. It's not going to do it. It has to come from within. It has to go down in the heart and take root and manifest and become part of our soul and our character for it to flow out of us. And that takes discipline. That's what meekness is the discipline, the bridle, the bit that helps guide us along. And adults can do this too. I like to do this. When was my heart open today? When did I experience joy? When was my heart closed today? What shut me off? And explore it and look at it and take it out, lay it out. There is no punishment. There's no fear of punishment. It's about being honest with oneself and looking and saying, this isn't working. This makes me feel miserable. How can I change? I need God's grace to change this in myself. So what the Beatitudes invite us to hear are the Beatitudes are not things that we put on like a jacket. Yes, we can fake it. And, you know, sometimes faking is good. But the virtues cannot be faked. They have to come from within. And so in order to do that, you and I must decide, what is it I really want for my life, for my soul? What is it that God wants for me? What is it that I really want in community? And to sit down and write that out. We're so tossed and turned by everything we hear in the news, but what is really needed from us right now is to sit down and ask ourselves, what do I really want? So that I can find my moral courage. We all have that gift. But it has to be exercised. It has to be nurtured. So that in the heat of the moment, it will arise when we need it. What brings you joy and love and opens your heart? And what shuts you down? What closes your heart? What isolates you from others? Let's ask ourselves that each day, so that the grace of God can enter and uphold and support everything that we desire to be. Amen.